This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am going to start today's show by putting just a little bit of an asterisk in the front. This is going to be frank, open, honest discussion about your body and about sex and your relationship to your body and sex. So if that's something that you do not want young ears to hear or you are not fond of hearing, then I'm going to ask you to perhaps check out another one of our podcasts on Empower, because today this is what we're talking about. And I am so excited to talk to this woman because she is such a bright light and an honest soul when it comes to our relationship with sex and the body and the taboos we have and the false notions that we have about how this can really help us. Now, just she's not much on titles and she's going to look at me when I say this, but she's got a lot. So I'm just going to let you know. This is Love Myatt. Did I say that correct first?
Correct.
Yes, Love Myatt. She is a sexpert, a mother, a motivational speaker, an author, radio, television personality, sex researchologist, sexual hypnotherapist, relationship and intimacy coach, and tantra practitioner. Don't know what tantra is? Stay tuned. Hi there. How are you?
Beautiful, Ms. Lisa J. How are you?
I am great. I've been looking forward to this discussion. I have looked over a lot of your material. There's a whole lot to get to, so let's just jump right in.
I'm ready.
Okay. There is something that you talk about. And first of all, her book, He Chose Me, we're going to have a link to her website about how to pick up this book and find out more information. Okay. You talk a lot about self-ship. Can you explain to me what is self-ship?
Loving thyself first. In order to love or communicate or understand with clear viewing and visions, you have to learn to love yourself. And that's really a challenge, Ms. Lisa J., because so often we find ourselves dealing with different circumstances and situations, diversity, all sorts of life. And our reality is based off of how we view things and our perception. And sometimes our perceptions is off, so it makes us challenge ourselves when it comes to loving thyself.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to love somebody else because you would already have a premonition, like, okay, I love this person because he looks good, he treats me good, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to looking in the mirror at yourself, it gets challenging.
And isn't it hard, too, if you're not loving yourself, the thought of having somebody love you or be near you or even touch your body, just you can't.
You can't relate the two.
No.
Unless you put yourself in a different dimension, like, okay, you pretend that you enjoying it. And you can only pretend for so long. And the more you pretend, the more you tear yourself down inside.
Okay. And so if someone's in a relationship right now and they really like this person, but they're having a hard time letting that person get to know them. And that means always, psychologically, intimately, even physically. How do they break down that barrier to allow someone to come in?
That's the first thing. That's the first step. You have to allow it. You made the powerful word right there. You have to first allow. Someone can't force themselves in. You have to want it and you have to allow it. You have to go back into you and find that person that got blockage at that point and allow yourself to travel from that point before you add somebody else into that equation.
The thing that you just said that just triggered me was you have to go back and figure out what is causing that blockage.
Yes.
Because are we, you know, crucifying someone from bad relationship sins that happened in the past? Well, this person's not doing that. You know, so you can't just say, oh, this is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes things can happen in our childhood.
Yes.
That we don't even understand. Like, mm-hmm. some are very clear, like what happened to you, and we're going to get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are more subtle, and you don't understand how they're affecting your physical and emotional relationship in the now.
Because so often we block it. When things happen in the past or whatever, we kind of block it. And one of the things I tell people all the time is one of the hardest things is in relationship is having a good person that you have so many bad people. So unconsciously, you pull all that toxic energy or toxic situations and experiences from previous relationships to your current relationship. You'll say, oh my God, he lied to me. Okay, Peter Paul lied to me before, so I know how this is going to turn out. So what I tell people so often, Lisa, because that's the biggest thing people say as well, Maya, I have zero tolerance for lies. I do not like a liar. I can't stand a liar. He lied to me one time, it's over. And they get so offended when I tell them, Miss Lisa. I say, well, damn, how many times do you lie to yourself? I mean, because if you show me that you ain't lied in 24 hours, I want you on my team. Even if it's saying I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes. You know doggone well pretty much you're not going to call that person back in 5 minutes.
And that's a lie.
That's a lie. No matter how little it is, how big it is. So my thing is false expectations of others. So you have to find yourself, love yourself to be able to get through what's going on with you to be able to add somebody else into the equation successfully. Okay. I mean, it's only fair, right?
That is only fair to not do that. So that's letting someone in emotionally. Now, there's some things that can happen that would be hard to let someone in physically. If you wouldn't mind, just briefly explain to people what occurred to you as a child physically and how you are worked through that. Because I don't know if we ever fully get over it, but do we work through it?
Yes. Okay, with me, I was molested not once, but twice. Okay, so the first time I was molested, and it really surprised me because I was like 7 years old, and I found myself sitting on my cousin's lap. Okay, now I never discussed this outside of my books. This is my first time discussing this. So it was like my aunt came out on the back porch, and I was just praying inside, like, okay, she's going to know what's going on. He was just like, be still. She never noticed. Okay, so that happened for a second. Then after that, years went past, a couple of years. 10, 11 years old, I started getting molested from my sister husband. So in the process of that, Miss J, you get molested, something is taken from you, but something is also deposited into you. So what I discovered is for my healing, I'm never a victim. And I never want you to look at me as a victim at all. I'm a warrior. Okay, so what I had to do is the first thing I had to learn is you have to be able to accept what happened. Know that it's not your fault, but don't try to find a blame game on someone else neither, because then it's going to hurt you in the long run. Now, here's the trigger. This is not with all people, but with myself, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, so I was vulnerable anyway in that situation, okay? Mm-hmm. So I was already vulnerable, so I found myself getting molested. But at the same time I was getting molested, I started evaluating, considering, or I started looking at sex as love, the act, the sexual act, because I didn't have a vaginal orgasm, but I had a clitoral orgasm, which really was stimulating. So if this person is taking advantage of me and molesting me, but at the same time giving me pleasure, now I'm looking at love as I'm looking at arousal as really love.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying? The difference, okay. because I'm already searching for love, because I'm already got some. The whole tragic thing is tragic, and you already emotional and you hurting from it. But then at the end of it, you getting some kind of stimulation, which is clitoral stimulation for myself. So that's pleasure. So then I start finding myself looking for love, be associating a pleasure with love. So then I start getting used to it.
Okay.
And I started accepting it. And I started saying, okay, well, I like this. Until I had to realize, this is not what the hell's supposed to be, going on.
No.
This is not right. But still, I'm 10 years old and I'm experiencing something I don't even know about my body. But I'm like, this feels good.
So how did that translate into your adult relationships? How did it color that?
It hurt me because so often I'm sapiosexual. So I'm stimulated through mental, right? So often I go through these relationships. I'll stay in these long relationships 4 and 5, 6 years. But I will always look for that arousal. And I associate that arousal with love. But then at the end, I get bored because you can only give me arousal at that certain time, because they didn't really know how to give me different type of arousals. I wasn't able to I didn't know how to please myself to have a penetration orgasm. So the most satisfaction I was getting was clitoral. So I found myself able to please others, but wasn't receiving that same thing here. So then I started like, okay, it's time for me to move on. So I kept going through relationship. So then I went back 6 years ago because I feel like something was missing. I'm like, something is missing. I know, you know, people say, well, you're just a freak. I'm a freak by nature. I'll enjoy this, right?
Right.
So I went back and obtained my PhD for myself because I said, something is up. Something's going on with me. So I went back and I found out that it's really me. You know, I had to be able to distinguish arousal, pleasure, differently from love. And it all started with, I had to go back and get that little love my yacht and tell her, this is not love. Pleasure, arousal, you have to separate. You have to be able to identify these emotions and don't let your emotions control you. You can control your emotions. And once I was able to with that, like, okay, yeah, I'm just horny right now. That don't mean I'm loving him. That don't mean that I really like him. He's just making me feel good at this point. Or, okay, this person right here, I really have feelings for this person. It's something spiritually there. Or I just want to kick it with him for a second. You have to be able to identify each person you're dealing with and know what category you want to put them in, because you can't put everybody in the same category inside your world because you become confused.
this is, it brings up something really interesting, and it's about letting people know what's going on with you if you're wanting to enter into a sexual relationship with somebody.
Yes.
So how much do we talk about, A, our past, and B, what pleases us when we're going to want to enter into a physical relationship with someone?
Miss Lisa, it depends on what kind of relationship you want.
Okay.
You could want a physical relationship. You could just want to have sex. That's physical. You could want a relationship to get you past another previous relationship. Or you could be like, okay, I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to settle down. And this may be the person. So it really depends on how you identify the person you're dealing with. If you say, okay, I want to deal with this person. I want to make this work out. Share your past with them so they can know what they're dealing with. I always tell people, I would never rape your brain. Meaning that I would not allow my representative to come before me. And you're like, oh, I love Maya. She's so cool. She's so down to earth. She this, she that. That won't happen with me if I want to be in your life. Now, if I'm just like, okay, I'm finna hit and that's going to be it, whatever.
Yeah, then it doesn't need to come up.
Exactly.
Because you can identify it as this is just a pleasure, just a pleasurable experience, and that's all.
And that's okay, too. And don't allow anyone to make you feel bad for having those type of decisions. You know, Westernization, they make me so angry because it's so one-sided. If a man say, okay, yeah, she looks really nice, I just want to have sex with her, he's okay. But if a woman identify a guy like, oh my God, I just want to hit. I just want to have sex with him. She's automatically click. She's such a whore.
Yes. I know that
she's promiscuous.
Standard.
You know, oh, what is the matter with her? She's so loose. And I'm like, why is that? So feel comfortable with who you are. And if you're able to identify what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with, I think that's the first step.
Yeah, and identify how you feel after. So let's say you decide, you go in there and you're like, that guy right there. And you know you want that one and you want him in your bed.
Exactly.
Okay, and you go and you do that. Then you have to accept the responsibility as what happens when you wake up. Do you feel joy? Like, okay, that was a great physical experience. Or do you feel regret?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. And that's what you have to take. So you have to make sure that you're in position and you're ready for it. You can't say, okay, well, I'm just going to go out on the town and just have some fun. And then, I think I want to have sex with him, because you didn't prepare yourself. You have to mentally prepare yourself before everything is mentally. Everything starts with the mind first. So you have to mentally say, okay, so worst case scenario, I don't have an orgasm. So whatever I was wanting from this guy for this sexual experience, I'm not going to get it. So it was a waste of my time. Because I can't have that time back again. Or best case scenario, oh, that was some good stuff and I may want it again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to accept that responsibility before you even get in that situation. So what I tell a lot of my clients is, a lot of my clients will deal with erectile dysfunctions. I tell them all the time, masturbate in your head before you masturbate in the bed, before you have sex in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Masturbate in your head before you receive pleasure in bed. Because a lot of guys with erectile dysfunction, they erect fast. And they be like, well, I just can't help coming fast. Well, come first in your brain. Because the brain don't know if it's real
That's
or not.
Right.
So if you automatically have an erection, an ejaculation, or orgasm mentally, when you get in the bed and you start performing, it's going to already say, okay, I'm on the second dose.
It clicks in.
It clicks in.
Okay.
So that's the same way you have to do a relationships. Automatically try to play it out as much as you can before.
Wow. Oh, good stuff. Okay. So why do you say that sex is the strongest pain medication in the universe?
Oh, my goodness. The neurochemicals that's released. It's beautiful. You have those endorphins and those dopamines. I never understand. I don't knock anyone for taking, you know, manufactured drugs and stuff for their sexual experiences or problems. But I will also say that the same thing that they're chemically connecting for you guys, the body can do it itself. You just have to learn the language of the body and understand it. So for the neurochemicals that's released, which are the endorphins and the dopamines, the blood cells triggers off and come to a certain level that it releases this, that arouses. Like, have you ever just got happy out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
Or Miss Jay, have you ever had sex with somebody and a week later you thought about it and you got all aroused? Like, whoa, that was good.
Yeah.
Because the brain is identifying those endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the strongest pain medication. You have a toothache, have some sex. Have a headache, have some sex. I mean, and it starts with the mind too. So you have to tell the mind, oh yeah, I have a toothache. I'm feeling real good. Had that sex. And you having the sex or whatever experience you're having.
Masturbation. That's all right.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, self-love. There's no shame in that.
You know, Westernization tell you that masturbation, you know, I don't really get into religion or whatever, but I know that a lot of times people ask me, churches ask me to come speak. And I shout like, I would love to speak to the people, but I just don't agree with everything. Like, some people say that masturbation is bad. I think self-love, how can you expect for somebody else to come in the bedroom and be a magic person to you? Whether it's a man, you want the man to come into the bedroom. The only way he know about sex is from previous relationships, porn, or what his friends have told him or what somebody else told him. This is a body that you are born with. Mm-hmm. If you don't know your own body, how can you ask somebody else to know it?
Right. And you know what? You just brought up a great point is, okay, let's just talk about it, porn. Because a lot of times people get in their head that that's what their sexual experience is going to look like.
And they be so messed up because they don't know that it's all with acting. It's all with camera actions. I spoke to you before, I think, about TMJ. You know, a lot of young ladies now is like starting at 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. Mm-mm-mm. They're experiencing TMJ. And I'm like, dang, they just got their second set of teeth. They don't know that they're going to have lockjaw. I have a lot of women. I be saying, you know, do you enjoy doing oral sex? They're like, yeah, till my mouth start hurting. I said, when your mouth start hurting, what you do? I just keep on going until he come. Baby, that's your body telling you that something is wrong. Change positions. I don't want to stop until he come. Well, change positions. Because now it's not a pleasure thing. It's a job. And I tell people all the time, don't you ever say blow job to me. Because I'm not going to, I don't want to put in my mind state that doing oral sex on you is a job. So I call it pleasure dome. You know, something that's good. So I can stimulate my brain.
To get in that space where...
To get in the space.
Where it's going to be great for
healthy,
both of us.
Healthy, happy.
Yes.
Yes, because if it's just a one thing... Okay, so if it's a job, I want some money. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to put yourself in the proper headspace and have it healthy for both of you guys. If you went to a sexual act and it's painful, you're not going to enjoy that. He's enjoying it because his eyes is closing. He into his own realm. He enjoying it. But then here you are, your teeth cracking, popping, everything.
Does it always have to happen that as you get older, you do not desire sex as much?
Okay, so that's called HASDD. Hypoactive sexual desire disorder.
Okay.
And that contributes. Now, here's the funny thing with that. Hypoactive sexual desire disorder, what happens is men and women are different. With men, I'll start first. Most of theirs, they will call it erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
Theirs is contribute to physical more so. I'm not going to say 100% because I don't put everybody into the same category.
Right.
So theirs are more, so physical. Maybe they had like some kind of tumor, cancer, something going on, a problem. And so they have to take certain medication. High blood pressure. High blood pressure is definitely one of the prime problems with guys, okay? So they'll have that situation. Now, women, this is where it's tricky at. With hyperactive sexual desire disorder, we are multi. So ours are mental and physical. Okay, so first you have to contribute to the physical. What's going on with the body? Because the body sends off all kind of radars. So it could be the body going through something and saying, okay, I don't like this no more because XYZ over here is not accurate. Everything has to be in sync, a perfect eight. I don't know if you're familiar with Kundalini, but it has to be that perfect eight. You know, the Kundalini through the body, because once it get blockage in it, it's going to stop. It's going to get clogged up and it may still go a little bit, but eventually it's going to be like up enough until you solve this. You have to go with the mental then. If it's physical, women have to go straight to mental. Okay, so I'm realizing that I don't have the desire no more when I'm doing what? Okay, am I happy if I'm playing with myself?
Right, and is it because I just don't like the way my stomach looks anymore? Mm-hmm. Am I feeling self-conscious about that?
That mental, yes.
So, but then you're right, if they were masturbating and didn't have any problem, it's because they're with themselves and there's no one else around to see them. So you got to work on that self-love about having someone share your body.
You know, Miss Lisa, I go through that. So, and I'm guilty. I go through that so much with my clients. You know, I'm not guilty of this because social media and things of that, they have a way of showing you every woman you look at on social media got a big old booty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only African-American no more. Every woman you look
at. It's the thing to have.
It's the thing to have. Look, I was happy 15 years ago, boobs was in. I was in there then. Big boobs was in then. I was like, I'm in there. But now it's like big bottoms and everything. So not only do older women, we have to deal with the pressure of having those type of body parts, but also with us getting older also. And some reason, we always compare ourselves to somebody else, okay? We're like, oh, we're not pretty enough. Oh, we have a stretch mark. Oh, we got this right here. We got that right there. But then you got to ask yourself, I'm guilty, Miss Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell me I wasn't fine wine 2 months ago, okay? Because I had the baddest weaves, had the baddest wigs, I had the baddest makeup artist.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't nobody outdress me. I was just the stuff, okay? And then my creator said, right after my birthday, it's time to do the 30-day challenge. No makeup, no weave, no wigs, no nothing. You can't eat nothing but fruits and vegetables. I'm like, oh my goodness. So when I got that, I was like, I got to really do this. And it came from, I found out. I'm like, thank you, Creator. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for making me beautiful. But everything I was saying was beautiful was superficial. It was replica. I was thinking that I was beautiful because I had the hair, because I had the makeup on, mm-hmm. I had the eyelashes on, I had all this other stuff going on, and I forgot who the beautiful person is. The beautiful person is who you were ordained to be. That inner beauty without the makeup, without the fake hair, without whatever you think that you had to pay for to have on, that's not real beauty. It's what you wake up to every morning and you look at and you say, I appreciate. I tell myself, I love my head. I love my nose. I don't care if it go all the way across my face. I love it. I love my lips because this is beauty. Mm-hmm. So once you learn beauty from within, that'll start triggering something in your brain. And then you'll start learning how to pleasures. Touch yourself. Touch your womanly parts. I mean, I tell people all the time, look in the mirror. Put a mirror between your legs and look at her and say,
everybody
how beautiful you
that
are.
Sex and the City. Come on. You all watched that episode, right?
Sex and the City?
Where they were teasing Charlotte because she never looked.
Yes. You got. But do you know how many women don't look? They just wash her. They just wash the yoni, wash the vagina. They don't do anything else. Wash her and give her, you know, have some sex. That's it. So the guy who she with, he know what she look like and he don't.
See, yeah. And just personally, I mean, don't guys sometimes name theirs? So perhaps we should name ours.
Of course. You haven't named yours yet?
Oh, mine has a name.
Mine has a name. Look, what I do, Miss Lisa, my penis got a name too now, okay? So I talk to him, and before anybody get in the bed with, they're going to introduce themselves to my Yanni. And they're going to have a good conversation. And guess what? You're not going to get none until she start throbbing and responding, because the genitals have a mind of their own. Did you know that?
They have their, I wouldn't doubt
they
it.
Have their own mind. Like, say, for example, have you ever been with somebody, you was like, oh, I want to be with him. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't get aroused. You couldn't get moist. And you was like, what the heck just happened? Guys all the time, they be like, oh, she hot. I want her. Can't get it up.
There is so much information that you have,
yes.
Matt. I absolutely love talking to you. We're sort of towards the end of our time here, which
wow,
is just, it
fast.
Flew.
Yes, yes.
Because there is such good information on this. And I really hope that you have listened all the way through. We are going to have her website on here. This is nothing to be ashamed of. If you are having some problems, reach out to her. Get some help with this because, as she said, sex is the strongest pain medication in the universe.
Yes.
And it's much more natural than anything pill you can pop.
Yes.
This is much more natural. And feeling comfortable talking about your body, touching your body, and then talking to other people and having them touch your body, knowing that all of this, you can overcome your insecurities, you can overcome your past, you can work through whatever it is that will allow you to have a happy, healthy sex life.
Yes.
Okay. And there's me. And I'm off my soapbox now. So we do this little thing called the RL3, which is three silly, goofy little questions that let us know more about you.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Can we do that for you? So my first question is, you have unlimited resources and you are allowed to fly to any destination in the world and speak. Where are you going?
Dubai.
Dubai. Oh my gosh.
Dubai. It would never be anywhere Western. It'd always be Eastern.
Okay. I love that. And just because I'm thinking food at the moment, what's your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast will be grits.
With or without butter, salt, whatever
butter and cheese.
Butter and cheese. Okay, we got it. Perfect. And of course, you know, we can't go any farther without knowing your fantasy name, or some people call it your porn name.
My porn name.
The street. It's the first pet you ever had and the street you grew up on.
First pet I ever had, Dulcie.
Dulcie?
And the street I grew up on is Cortland. Dulcie Cortland.
Dulcie Cortland doesn't sound
terrible.
Like that.
That is not romantic.
You got to come up with something else.
I know. That could not be my porn name.
We are so excited you're here with us today. Make sure that you check out lovemyat.com. We've got everything up on our website. And love yourself and love one another. Thanks so much.